are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, when I lay sleeping, I dreamt I held you in my arms. When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken, so I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Got that right. Better not take that sunshine away. We'd last about, well, we wouldn't last 1 second. We would be, oh, shut up. I forgot to turn off that damn thing. We wouldn't last long, man, if that sunshine goes away. That's why I like those sunshine songs. Also, they make you feel good. I found out I had a pinched nerve in my neck, and boy, it's giving me pain like you wouldn't believe, down the arm and up the shoulder and down the fingers. I'm telling you, man, I need a song like that. I'll tell you, I never had pain like that in my life. I haven't had lots of pain in my life, never broke a bone or anything like that, but boy, wow, and booze won't stop it either. You just got to bear with it, boy, and be tough. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio, and this is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger in the bunker right here in north central Indiana, right by Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station, where we still pump ethyl and regular. Mm-hmm. And that's right next to our weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard, and we're running out of stuff real fast, man. I'm telling you, everybody wants to have a war. Yeah, everybody wants to kill somebody, so they're coming in here from all over the world, not just the United States. They want those weapons of mass destruction because we're going to kill them, man. That guy offended me. Kill him. Boy, I'll tell you better put your helmet on because it's going to get hot. It is April 15th, 2015, Wotan's Day. We give respect and reverence to David Lane today, POW, murdered by the Federales. Do you remember back in the 80s when they were going to put that Skylab and hook it up with the other unit that was up there in space, and they had problems? They were leaking ammonia, which almost destroyed the whole system. Well, I was watching a little bit on TV. You know, you can dig a lot of stuff out nowadays. Well, anyhow, it was showing that there were two guys working outside the missile and the rocket, and working on something on that Skylab. And two of them, there was two of them, and one was white and one was black. I never knew there was even a black astronaut up there. I didn't know they were trying to shoot the coon to the moon. Yeah. Well, anyhow, he was over there, this black guy, the black astronaut, and he was drilling on the outer shell somehow. And all of a sudden, this ammonia system sprung a leak. And that was a disaster if they had not been able to shut it off. Well, he fussed around and found a shutoff valve that was frozen, and he worked at it for a while and got it closed. But if that hadn't been closed, and if that leak would have been kept leaking, that whole thing would have been down the tube. Everything would have been destroyed. And I never knew that was a black guy that was involved in that. I don't know whether you did or not. But it seems like they pretty well covered it up. I was also reading about a John Dillinger Museum up in Hammond, Indiana. Now, that's up not too far from Chicago. Not a good place to be in the dark at night. But anyhow, they showed the inside of it and showed the stuff in there, and they had a hell of a lot of stuff in there. If you're ever up that way, you might want to drop into Hammond, Indiana and see the John Dillinger Museum. The name I was trying to think of the other day that Hillary Clinton got hooked up was Saul Alinsky. He was a Marxist organizer in Chicago. He's the one who put, what's his name, out there in California on the map, Cesar Chavez. He went out to California, picked him up, took him to Chicago and trained him and sent him back as a so-called labor organizer. So Hillary went from being a conservative Barry Goldwater girl to working and being trained by the Marxist in Chicago, Saul Alinsky. He happens to be Jewish, too. Well, since it's Wotan's Day and David Lane Day, how about this? I wrote an editorial about David Lane back in 2007 for our newspaper, June 2007. And here's the editorial. David Lane was my friend. We touched base on and off for many years. As I recall, my first contact with David Lane was when he called me from Denver a couple of years at least before the order was developed, maybe longer. He started out like most of us do, distributing literature through the neighborhoods. Incidentally, he was quite a golfer in the Colorado area, and he was into real estate, I believe. But the system is never satisfied with practicing of free speech. They do as much as they can to stop it or intimidate you. David was having a hard time in Denver, being harassed every time he went out by the local cops just to distribute literature. I talked to him on the phone and advised him to never go out distributing literature without a tape recorder and a camera. Whenever the police, or for that matter, anyone approaches you and is recognizably hostile, in a hostile manner, make sure your tape recorder is on, and if need be, take pictures. I guess I was into that long before a lot of other people. Now everybody's into it. As I recall, I didn't hear from David Lane for some time, even though I did know that he was working with the Aryan Nations. I remember his sister working in the office at Aryan Nations. I'm sure I must have talked to her many times. Even though I was not an Aryan Nations member or believer, I supplied as much intelligence information as possible to Reverend Butler, including information on the bombing of his church, which incidentally was never solved and my information was never followed up on. My recollection of David Lane becomes a little bit fuzzy up to the time when the arrests were made of all the order members. Even though I don't recall ever meeting David Lane in person up to that point, I was somewhat surprised that he would be involved in heavy action. Of course, one can never tell a book by its cover. I traveled to Seattle to be at the sentencing of the order members. While I did not go inside the courtroom that day, I took up a position across the street from the exit. I knew the prisoners would be taken out of the side door in a prison van. Finally, a van came out of the exit. Since the windows were darkened on the van, I couldn't see inside. But I knew they all were inside, so I took a picture of the van coming out from the underground basement. At the same time, I came to attention and gave a good Roman salute. After that, I didn't hear too much about David Lane for some time. We were putting all the addresses of the POWs in our newspaper, War. Many of the right-wing leaders would not touch the order with a 10-foot pole, and most of them were scared stiff that somehow they were going to be rounded up. When Katya developed an association with David Lane, and actually they were married, I began to hear more about David Lane. His books began to be made available and used to send me writings all the time. I was upset when I told them that I only print fresh articles, not articles that are set to me by other organizations. But after that, he did comply for a few articles. In the last 3 or 4 years, he began to call me on the telephone from prison. He would always ask, "Tell me the good news." And I would usually say, "The good news is all bad news. Worse is better." He wasn't too thrilled by that answer, but he got used to it. He got used to hearing it. We even used to argue a little bit when he would call, usually about tactics and methods. The problem of a POW has is the lack of up-to-date information. They can read the paper and hear a little bit of talk radio, but they don't have the input that's available to us on the outside. So that leads to some differences of opinion. I think David liked me because I was not a yes man and I didn't stroke him like many did. In fact, I treat everybody that way, and that's why a lot of them call me a grouchy old guy. As time went on, gave a lot of research and reading into areas that can be a little bit questionable. I guess I should spell check and check these things out a little better. Can't read my own stuff. His fascination with the pyramids and numerology are not my cup of tea, at least not too much. One reason is because I had researched all latter as much as possible years ago. And when I would talk to him on the phone, we developed an understanding. David Lane was not strong physically, and especially in later years, he had a bad heart. Most men would have just laid back and took it easy. But David stayed strong and kept working through it all. I remember when they took him to prison hospital in Springfield, Illinois. I didn't expect him to come back alive from that. But miraculously, he came back and continued his work. I don't think most people can imagine what it's like to try to think and write and research in a prison cell. There is a constant noisy atmosphere that does not lead well to intellectual thinking or work. I guess David simply stuffed some toilet paper in his ears so he didn't have to hear it. The vocal noises primarily from the primates and the mestizos, but the art and the walls have a high echo effect. I can imagine it drives some men around the bend. Now I see why there's some problems here reading this. This was the original before it was checked out. I have this audio to print program, and you can't just do it with one take. You got to go back and correct things. I was surprised when David called me from Colorado to tell me he was going to be moved. He had no idea where, but I think he did due to his age and his health, it would be to a lower security prison where he might have a little bit more freedom. Then he called me and said they were shipping him out to Terre Haute Federal Prison here in Indiana. I was shocked because Terre Haute Federal Prison is not a lower level prison. It's a higher level prison and much more dangerous. I have found out since that Gary Yarborough, POW, is also in Terre Haute. I had planned to travel to Terre Haute Federal Prison on June 30th and demonstrate outside the prison, but when I was advised that Gary Yarborough was there and it might work adversely for him, I decided to call it off. Just 2 days before David Lane was killed, I received a call on my phone machine while I was away from home. It was David, and he seemed to be okay as far as his voice was concerned. That was the last time I heard David. If David Lane was not murdered outright, he was murdered at a slower manner. The anxiety of moving and already a sick person in the middle of the night with chains on and the black box they use is enough to make even a healthy man sick, and he had a bad heart. Since the prisons are a closed society and the public knows almost nothing about what goes on inside, and almost anything can be kept secret, the very fact that they moved him in at all to his death, whether they intended to or not. We now have 2 million prisoners across the country, more than any other country in the world. The brutality and the mental torture is a daily routine in all prisons. When people say how shocked that they are when told the military prisons like Cuba or those in Iraq or Afghanistan routinely torture prisoners, I say, why wouldn't they do it in every prison in the United States? Already do it here. An argument has been made that the part of the ashes from David Lane should be eventually be buried or spread on the Matthews Ranch near Medellin Falls, Washington, where Bob Matthews is buried, and actually my wife's ashes are buried there too. Bob Matthews' ashes are there. My wife Kathleen's ashes are there. POW Richard Scutari recently requested of me to make sure that his ashes are either buried or spread on Bob Matthews' ranch also. I have promoted for a long time the placing of a huge boulder at the front of the Bob Matthews ranch, and that a plaque be placed on it, a memorial containing all the names of the order members. So far, I've had no cooperation whatever, and especially from the normal right-wing sources. Due to the usual problems that always arise from a project like this, so far it hasn't happened. This is not a grandiose proposition. With permission of Debbie Reynolds, a large boulder could be simply brought in front of the property and then place a plaque on it, probably chain-link fence around it to protect from vandals that may try to pry off the plaque. This way our friends across the country and across the world would have a point of interest to stop there, take pictures or whatever, and show the respect that is deserved all these men and women. Other leaders' names could be placed on the plaque as they pass on also. As usual, the system has not gained but only lost. Due to the constant harassment like men like David Lane received when attempting to do relatively small things, usually pushes them to be more fanatical. And as I have said many times before, quote, if the government doesn't like us, they shouldn't have created us, unquote. If you should fall, my friend, another soldier will appear from the shadows to take your place. In fact, that was their motto of the order, and I wear a watch every day that has that verse right on the face of it. So I won't forget it, and if anybody asks me, what's your watch say? I tell them the story. That's right. And that's it. And I'm going to have to send this raw material of this editorial from 2007 over to my webmaster and have her straighten it out. Because I wouldn't have wanted it to be in the paper this way, and I'm sure it wasn't. It's up to you and me to keep the names of the order members alive and pass it on to future generations. And if you don't do it, and I don't do it, and a handful of others don't do it around the country, don't depend on the phony racial right to do it. The same ones that would have... Well, in fact, I remember Dr... Oh, what was his name? Anyhow, the editor of the Thunderbolt, when he got wind that Bob Matthews at one point was traveling in the South and recruiting more people for the order, he right away called the CIA and said, ask him to stop it, because this guy was obviously, he's accused Bob of being a CIA agent. That's the right wing for you. I hope all you seniors that vote Republican all the time understand that the House voted for a bill that would cut 21% off Medicare. 21% is a lot. And the Senate now is expected maybe to block it and push it through. And Obama was supposed to either veto it or not veto it. I forget. I'll give you more information as I get it. You know, they're heating up the Holocaust propaganda again all over the place. But I want to remind Jews that if it hadn't been for Hitler, you wouldn't have had Israel. The world was not prepared to give the land to Israel, and the Arabs would have stopped them in their tracks. But if Hitler hadn't have done what he did, I mean, they would have never got the country. So it's sort of a interesting dichotomy. Well, let's see here. So if the Jews had to sacrifice a few hundred thousand of their people to gain the world, still not a bad deal.
This is basically putting your hearing protection on your gun.
What comes to mind when you think of a gun silencer? Assassins? 007? But silencing a shotgun blast? I mean, what's the point? Silencerco, a company based in Utah, developed the Salvo 12, the world's first ever shotgun suppressor. Not only was it fun to shoot,
very nice,
but we met with the company's CEO in the remote, spooky foothills of Nevada's mountains.
Josh, could you actually explain to me what a suppressor is? Because a lot of people don't really understand.
Yeah, a suppressor is nothing more than just a muffler, like a car has a muffler. It's a series of baffles that slow the gases down so that the projectile leaves basically before the explosion of the gases all hitting the cold air at once. It's not silent like you would imagine on the movies,
right.
It's which is why the technical name is suppressors, like you mentioned.
A shotgun, unsuppressed, sounds like you just set off a bunch of fireworks right next to your head. A suppressed shotgun still sounds like a jackhammer. Hiram Maxim invented the first silencer over 100 years ago, but it took a lot longer to come up with the first shotgun suppressor.
Well, it's interesting that the first shotgun suppressor, silencer, is created in the Mormon state of Utah, up there where all those not sort of Christians are at. They need guns to protect them, because Jesus is not around. Well, 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 the Army's 2016 class of commanders for 31 of its top combat units has one black officer, a trend that the service is seeking to reverse with limited success. Oh no, we got to ram those incompetent fools in there. You will win some more wars. Another reason, the same thing happened in Egypt in the 25th dynasty, I guess it was. They put blacks in the army, and Egypt came tumbling down. The 2016 list of commanders for Army infantry, artillery, and armor combat brigades and battalions shows black officers continue to struggle to gain a foothold in the units that serve as the primary training ground for senior leaders. Of course, they're doing this just because they're black. They're being punished. Are you kidding? If these guys had superior talent, don't kid me, they'd be putting them in high positions. Six black officers out of the 82 will lead battalions, which are 800 to 1,000 soldier components of brigades. According to the list, which was obtained by USA Today, but only one of the 31 combat brigades getting new commanders, the list shows, will have an African-American nigger colonel in charge. A Defense Department official reviewed the list and provided the racial breakdown on the condition of anonymity, because officials were not authorized to comment publicly. There's still plenty of racism alive out there, because they have to have racism to survive. You couldn't win battles with black troops. Occasionally, you do have a very efficient black troop, but it goes against the rule. So you get what you pay for. You say they're equal, and you tell them how much you love them. But behind the scenes, you're terrified to put them in positions of power. That's what you did to Obama, and you see what happened, didn't you? It's quite interesting that we had this Oklahoma volunteer officer. He shot a black man, turns himself in. Robert Bates, 73, booked at Tulsa County Jail and later released on bond. Shot Eric Harris, 44. But this guy's 73. He looks like he's 93. And what was he doing out on an active patrol anyhow? And he claims that he went to pull his taser and he pulled a gun and shot the guy instead. I can believe it. This guy looks like he's senile already. If you want to watch a good movie, tune in Chaos. You can get it on Netflix. I think I saw it once before, but it's really got the twists and turns in one of those kind of movies that'll keep you on the edge of your seat. Pretty interesting. Chaos. Here's another editorial from 2008, October. The past few months have indeed been been interesting, exciting, demanding, and also depressing. Here at the bunker. But we've been warning people for years, is what we've been warning is finally coming about. If you recall, I advised to pay off as many debts as possible. Get rid of the credit cards unless you are a person who has complete control of your emotions. I also advised to get out of the major cities, if possible, even if you have to live in what you would consider slightly substandard housing, such as a small piece of land and even a used house trailer and a well for water, and some room to grow food. If you're foolish enough to become ensnared in one of those scam mortgages, I'm sorry. White America is drunk on materialism and is going to be worse than heroin to control. But at this point, it will be controlled whether you like it or not. The election of the President of the United States will mean very little. The rot is too deep for any president to straighten out. The oligarchs, whose business it is to control money, have made one of the biggest killings ever made as far as relieving millions of people of their hard-earned money. Most white people have been concerned simply with materialism, and it was almost impossible to reach them with common sense. The last thing they wanted to hear was about survival of the race. They bought the lie that race doesn't count. In fact, many went much farther in buying a worse lie that race does not even exist. The preachers lull them into sleep by telling them it's all in God's hands. Don't worry about it. Jesus is coming back. He'll straighten it all out. Right. They're also told by educators that races are equal and there's no difference between the races. Does that mean there's no difference between people? How stupid can they be? You're not born equal. You do not live equal. You're not equal before the law, nor do you have inalienable rights. An inalienable right is something that could not be taken away from you. There's nothing that cannot be taken away from you, including your life. Fortunately, there are some among the race who still understand that. It's common sense backed up by empirical evidence. But being like drug addicts, most of the race does not want to accept that. So as my grandmother used to say, if you don't listen, you'll have to feel. We are told that this is a democracy. It is far from a democracy. But even this fake democracy doesn't work in the long run. Democracy is the worst form of government simply because it denies human nature. Human nature is divided into energetic people, creative people, as opposed to lazy people. Billions on creating useless people inhabit this year. As overpopulation moves forward at warp speed. In the U.S. today, as in Europe, there is little concern with the population or even the quality of population. Our surpluses have been squandered around the world feeding the parasites that are unable to limit their population to their ability to produce food. Predatory capitalism is running wild throughout the world with only one thought is to consume, consume, consume. Produce, produce, produce. Breed, breed, breed. The U.S., say at 200 million of industrious, creative white people, could have produced a paradise. Now we're at 300 million, and it's to a large extent a society of parasites. And now the economic empire that the oligarchs built using the USA as a foundation is beginning to crumble. Millions and perhaps billions of third world people are happy to see this. Even though they are so stupid as to not understand much of the little they have was the result of robbing white American workers and handing it over to them. Do you hear any candidate for president ever saying white? Do you ever hear any candidate talking about overpopulation? Do you ever hear any candidate saying that to limit our oil consumption in food consumption, that we need to deport at least 20 million Mexicans and other Central Americans? Well, I'd say it's probably 50 million by now, because it's all underreported. The candidates talk about improving the environment, but at the same time encourage the wretched refuse to climb on board. All you have to do is look at the neighborhoods they live in, especially when they are a majority in the neighborhood. That's the America's future. Start noticing when school year starts, the bus stops to pick up the students and see the racial makeup. As far as the younger people in this country of school age, whites have been a minority for some time. Without a civil war or revolution of some type, there is no hope. I'm totally and finally at odds with what is known as the right-wing racial cause. It is worthless, counterproductive, and even the enemy. The Republican Party must be destroyed because it is a party that has, in some cases, pretends to be the party of the white people, even though, of course, they would deny it. The Republican Party and their corporate friends have done more to damage our race, along with the churches, than all of the Democrat social Marxists. Survival of the race has no chance of succeeding with this corrupt and vicious corporate-loving Republican Party in our way. If you're still so stupid as to be voting, then you really don't know what's happening, and you certainly don't belong to our association. The police state draws nearer and nearer, U.S. troops being brought in to make sure we don't get out of control. With the help of the military-industrial complex, the religious fanatics, the transnational corporations, we must continue to prepare for the worst. But hopefully, on the ashes of this oligarchy, our race will rise again. Tom Metzger, 2007. Now, in 2009, I received a message from one of our contacts in Russia. And I recorded that, and I played it on our show. But I'm going to play it for you again today. And, he's a little bit hard to understand, but I think you can get the gist of it.
Hello, Mr. Metzger. This is Ghost Wolf Russia reporting from St. Petersburg. Well, despite a hell of a lot of trash and filth we are forced to deal with on a daily basis here, there are some still good things in Russia too. First of all, there is no such thing as affirmative action here, and non-whites, as a result, have to compete on an equal basis with the Russian population, and it makes it actually harder for them to, say, get a nice job, because brainwashed as our people are, there are still some healthy instincts left, and unless a non-white, which may include some gook from Asia or some dark-skinned invader from a former Soviet republic, has special connections, he virtually stands no chance of getting a good position. Yet the problem is that low-skilled labor here has been screwed up big time as a result, and that is the downside. According to some estimates, there are more than 20 million illegal invaders here, mostly concentrated in big cities, and the overwhelming majority of them are involved in slave labor of the lowest skill requirements, and are the objects of maltreatment and constant abuse, which they take out on the common people, with large swaths of the cities turned into war zones after the sun goes down. Well, speaking of good things, I must say that you can see a lot of job advertisements here that openly state that the potential employee should have a European appearance. Landlords in their commercials can hardly get in trouble if they post up a notice with the additional requirement for a potential renter to be white. And it is considered an inalienable right of the owner here. So in that regard, the situation is here actually better than in the United States. And up until now, I've heard of no such cases of persecution against those who wouldn't let a shitskin rent their apartment to some of their housing accommodations. And on a personal level, if you interact with people, ordinary young or middle-aged people, just almost no one is likely to hit the ceiling and go ballistic if you openly reveal to them your racial beliefs. Most will simply forget it in a minute or so. Some will heartily agree and offer to shake hands. And to tell you the truth, my hopes lie with the younger generation, whose formative years were in the 1990s. Right after the breakup of the totalitarian USSR and up until 2000, there was a period of freedom here. Speech freedom was almost absolute, when you could buy anything, even Mein Kampf, almost anywhere. It was sold openly on the streets. Just no one gave a damn except for some crazed Jew lovers. And young people were being brought up in such an atmosphere that they have been made very cynical, in the good sense of the term, and very freedom-loving. And they won't take crap. They see things for what they are. And during those years, we saw a huge torrent of Western culture sweeping Russia in all aspects of our lives. So the Soviet patterns, totalitarian patterns, were being then broken, and they were finally washed down the drainage pipe of history. And this generation of the 90s, when their time comes, they're gonna raise hell. Because they won't swallow crap, but have imbued the American dream of prosperity and rationalism. And the most important thing is that they are hard to brainwash. Yet right now it is the predominantly the generation that was shaped in the USSR that is running the show. It is they who usually get offended and upset when you don't beat about the bush and speak straight. It is they who have screwed everything up here. But their time is slowly drawing to a close. And it's gonna be a real upheaval, I tell you. Partially due to American movies, although the American movie industry gets a lot of flack from white nationalists in America, I must say that there's a great many really good stuff, and our generation of the 90s were raised in those same movies. We simply don't understand, I mean, what it means. I can't speak my mind. I can't speak freely and don't understand that. So we have no busing of children here. We got no property taxes. I mean, the very concept of property taxes is outrageous, because property taxes, they eliminate the very basic, concept of property. Because each year you gotta give away to the government a part of your property. I mean, I can understand income taxes, can understand some fuel taxes, you know, environmental taxes, but property taxes, they go against the very idea of private property, which is a fundamental basic principle of Western civilization. They're anti-Western in essence. And right now, of course, there is some talk about the need to introduce this tax, but still they have no property taxes. That's a great thing too. And, I mean, all the shit that is spilling into Russia, it kind of comes in a natural way, you know? And it is fueled mainly by the greedy capitalists, you know? They are so greedy that they want a large pool of slave labor willing to work for a plate of soup all day long. And groups such as ADL simply don't exist here either, you know? Of course, there are some minor organizations of this type, but they don't wield so much influence. So the general thing is that here in Russia there is less respect for law and more chaos in general, more corruption. There are almost no niggers. The great many shit skins of all hues and colors, running around, shitting around, giving us trouble. But you know what? The fall of the Soviet Empire, which was really an evil thing, and we know it for a fact, because we saw this shit, it gives me some hope that the present anti-white order is gonna fall. You know? This is Ghost of Russia reporting for the Insurgent Radio Network.
There was Ghost Wolf Radio out of St. Petersburg, Russia. I haven't heard it from him for quite some time, but he did a good job, and he speaks pretty good English, too. Well, I'm going to cut it a little short today. I'll be back here tomorrow on Thursday, and I hope you have a good afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow, 14:05, and we'll close out with Zippity-Doo-Dah. That was the one I was going to play at the beginning, and I forgot got the song I'd already played, but I love these songs about the sun. And a lot of these songs are the kind of songs we'd be singing if our race was healthy and wise. These songs used to be very popular, and they're uplifting. And to some jaded individual whites in this society, it just seems sophomoric and all that, but I think they're great.
Shine brightly, breeze blowing lightly. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine head my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder.
It's the truth, it's action. Everything is satisfactory. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Fine, how are you?
Fine, how are you? Making a dollar a minute.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine head my way. Zippity-doo-dah,
zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder.
It's the truth.
It's actual.
Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. sunshine met my way.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder.
It is the truth, it's actual.
Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling.